Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hey, hey, Rush Nation, happy Thanksgiving! I suppose that's an appropriate entrance for the Thanksgiving episode of today's, or this week's show. Big man, how are you on this Thanksgiving?
A lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, that's for sure. And, there's a game going on now. The Packers are surprisingly winning. Not, I think, a game anyone expected, but then the Lions do what they do best and choke on Thanksgiving. So, you know, it's nice to see that some Thanksgiving traditions always seem to continue no matter what. So, sorry, Lions fans. I like the Lions. Hey, I like the Lions. It's just quite funny that they are bombing a bit this year. This Thanksgiving Day. So,
I'll say this year
they've been great, but yeah. But it's a lot to be thankful for. It's been a challenging year. So thankful to you, thankful to this community, whether they're listening now or watching the game. I imagine our listenership live might be the lowest it's ever been. but I think that at least the podcast people will pick it up. But yeah, it's great, isn't it? Football on a Thursday during the afternoon. Like, it's hard to knock that when it happens.
Yeah, this is the only time where I wish I had a proper man cave with a screen where I could watch whilst recording on Thanksgiving Thursday. That would be the ultimate play.
Wait, the only time? I want that every day of my life and twice on Sundays.
Well, no, I meant specifically for recording this podcast right now.
Just have a different screen. I want the Drew Davenport set up with the TVs.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. But not yet. Not there yet. Talking of community, Murph, you've got a announcement to make.
Yeah, I do. So a good friend of mine, really good friend of mine, Matt Cullen, lost his father last week, tragically. He was vacationing on holiday in Germany, like he does every year. And he suddenly passed away. It was very unexpected. And Matt, on top of having to deal with the grief of losing his father, is been dealing with insurance companies, and it looks extremely unlikely, in fact, impossible, really, that they're going to pay for him to be repatriated back to the UK. And so Matt is having to be financially responsible for £5,000 to bring his father back home to the UK from Germany, which... You know, it's one thing to lose your dad. I've been in that situation, although very different circumstances, and you have your own levels of grief and emotion. And then he's got young children who have lost their grandparent, and having to deal with their emotions. He's got a brother, he's got a, you know, a mother, he's got family members that he's having to help get through this grief, as well as grieving on his own. And now he's having to manage this situation pretty much exclusively by himself. And that's just hard. And also costly, you know. Who has a spare $5,000 knocking around to bring their dad's home in an unexpected situation? So we as a community, and a lot of credit goes to Jack Humphrey on this. He was on the show a few weeks ago, and he messaged me saying, like, oh, we should do something. And I went, well, I think the thing that him and I do best is put on competitions, right? That's kind of what we do. So we decided to do that, and the community have been very generous with prizes. So just a couple of hours ago, I launched an in-season eliminator, very similar style to the eliminator I launched a few weeks ago to get more money into charity coffers for MPS Society. But this one is exclusively for a GoFundMe for Matt's dad, to bring Matt's dad home so that he can have the proper funeral and burial. If anybody who has already donated, if you want to fill in, I sent a tweet. You should be able to find it on my Twitter. But do enter. If you haven't already donated, it's a minimum donation of £10. It's amazing. This community has, in the last 48 hours, raised £3,500 of that £5,000 total, which is just an amazing thing. This time of year, running up to Christmas and cost of living and everything else, and appreciate that people don't have, you know, lots of money lying around. I get it, 110%. But you know, this is a cause that's very near and dear to my heart. Not really ever talked about this publicly, but I never went to my father's funeral. I'm probably not going to share the details as to why on here. It's a very private matter. I didn't get the opportunity to go to my father's funeral, I should say, as opposed to it was a choice. It wasn't a choice at all. That choice was taken away from me. And I have to admit, that messed with me for about 10 years. Because my father and I we weren't the closest. We weren't buddies. We weren't, you know, people that I saw very often. I can't say that he was a huge influence on my childhood or anything like that, but still my dad at the end of the day, still the person that gave me life. Didn't wrong me in any particular way or anything like that, just circumstances and life and politics of family. But you know, the one thing I'll say is not going to my dad's funeral was hard. And that was taken away from me. And it took me a very long time to get over that. And it really, yeah, and I'm talking a decade, maybe even slightly over that. I'd even go as far to say that situation made it very difficult for me to have my own children until I was over that situation. It was that much of an impact on me. And so this strikes a real chord with me personally, because Matt's not just a really good friend and someone who's been there for me when I've had tough times this year, but every person should have an opportunity to say goodbye to their loved ones properly. And I can't stress enough how important it is to say goodbye and to have that piece of closure. Because as hard as it is to do, at least you've got that opportunity to do it. And I don't want that taken away from anybody. I really don't want that taken away from anybody. So if we can raise this money for Matt, I know he will be grateful, but also I just think it's, as a community, it's the right thing to do. I feel really strongly about this, and people probably don't know this, and I don't share these kind of personal things that often, but I'm real really strongly about this sort of thing. So I think that let's do this. Let's get Matt's dad home. You know, he's English. He should be on English soil, and his family should have the right to say goodbye properly. They didn't get the opportunity to say goodbye when he passed because he was abroad. So that's wrong or right. Let's do this as a community, and let's do this as soon as we can. So the community have done amazing. £3,500 in 2 days since we've launched this. You know, another couple of £100 already raised. Please, if you have £10 spare, and there's some amazing prizes, by the way. And shout out to the community. The franchise tag guys have donated the signed Keenan Allen shirt. Nia for a touchdown box has donated a touchdown box. I'm pretty close to announcing a couple of fantasy site subscriptions for 2024, ones I either work for or ones I work very closely with. We're going to have spots in the Steve Raines Bowl, spots in the FFCC, entries in the Fantasy Game Day app. There's loads of prizes. So, you know, not that people would need the prizes to donate, but you know, and you get to draft. You know, if your teams aren't doing well, you can draft a new team. You can try and win another ship. It's a 4-week competition. Should be fun. You get to meet more people in the community. And, but yeah, I feel like I genuinely feel like sometimes people think that I perhaps like jump on bandwagons and things like that when it comes to fundraising. I'm sure it's probably a real minority, but I can't tell you how strongly things like this like mean to me, because this one just like I can relate to that pain of not being at a funeral. And I know they'd probably have a funeral anyway, but I think having the body there would mean everything. So let's do this. Let's do this for Matt. And we're so close as a community. So I feel like we've got to do our bit. So please enter. We'll have a lot of fun doing it. And I know Matt is extremely grateful. I'm messaging him daily, and I know he'd be extremely grateful to everybody who enters. So yeah, if you've already donated, great. Send me the link or send me the confirmation of that, and yeah, we'll definitely enter you. And if you haven't, then you know, £10 donation and you're in. So
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm appealing more to like the American audiences here that we have. We have quite a strong American audience. If you don't know Matt, Matt runs a charity tournament of his own. He raises £10,000 a year for charity. So this isn't just like a random bloke. This is someone who gives a heck of a lot back to the UK fantasy community and worldwide fantasy community, a lot of international players in there. So he runs the JTT Cup, which I'm sure many, many people listening to this podcast are aware of. So it's not even just we're picking a guy, right? This is someone who's given so much to the fantasy community. So let's give something back to him in his time of need.
Yeah. And there's so many charity tournaments and stuff, the start of the year and everything, but this one feels so close to home at this point as well of the year. It just makes absolute sense to get behind it and yeah, bring it back. So
it's like Jack runs the Steve Raines Bowl. And that one hurts every year. I'm blessed to play in it every year, but it hurts to play in it because I'd rather not play in it and have Steve here. And I never met Steve in person, but I talked to Steve. You talked to Steve Stocks as well. So,
yeah.
That one hurts, like playing in that every year. Playing in the King's Classic and wearing a T-shirt that says Tag Strong on it, losing Mike Tagliere, who was a friend of mine, who I talked to. Yeah, I mean, these charity tournaments, they're wonderful and they're great and it allows us to do amazing things. But also, you know, especially today, Thanksgiving, I know we don't celebrate here in the UK, But as we're getting close to Christmas, you know, losing loved ones, it's tough. It's a good reminder of actually we have a social responsibility to do right by other people if we can, and we have the ability to. And most of us are very blessed and fortunate to have our family and our friends and the opportunity to do something. So I'm done. I'll stop talking about it now. I don't want to lower the tone too much, but I just want people to understand why it's important to me. It's not about me at all. I'm not trying to make this about me because it's not. I'm just trying to explain why we're doing this and why it is important for me to do it. Not just because Matt's a good friend, but I feel it's just the right thing to do. And it touches me in so many ways. And I've shared a little bit as to why it does. So, emotional over, right? Let's kick on. But yeah, do join. Links in the tweet. If you can't find it, DM me and I'll share it with you.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's your pinned tweet as well, no?
No, it's not my pinned tweet. But maybe I might make it my pinned tweet. The pinned tweet is still the book. No, it's the book. I might make it the 5-yard pinned tweet. Actually, let's do that. That might be easier.
There you go. There you go. Right, Murph. Reaction to week 10. Is that 11. Week 10 or is it supposed to be 11?
Yeah, I probably didn't change that in the line.
No, that's fine. You change it now. Make me look silly. Anything surprise you from week 11?
A few things. The Broncos winning was a surprise.
how dare you? How dare you?
A few things surprised me. I would say for me, there are a few things. One was Raheem Mostert's usage, right? 79% snaps played, 22 rush attempts, both season highs. Now, I know Devon Achane got injured in this game, re-injured, we should say, hence why you should never rush people back because he re-aggravated the same injury. Clearly wasn't 100%. But even so, they have enough of a supporting cast there. So it surprised me. He's dealing with multiple injuries. So it was surprising to see this kind of usage. I would say, I would almost say it was borderline reckless as well, given that they are on course for a playoff spot. So, I've just seen the Packers had scored another one while I was going through my emotional piece there. Jordan Love's having a game.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mr. Love.
Yeah, that's 3 touchdown passes for Jordan Love. He's in my Scott Fishbowl team, so that's useful, very useful. So thank you, Mr. Love, for that. Raheem Mostert's usage was surprising to me. Jalen Hurts throwing for just 150 yards against the Chiefs, that was really surprising. If you're playing fantasy, you probably wouldn't have really noticed that unless you got into the severe box scores. I really thought that, so I wasn't surprised by AJ Brown's game all that much. I wrote about this on Fantasy Pros last week. He had a really tough matchup against Jerry Sneed, but I expected more from Devonta Smith. He did have a bad game, Devonta Smith, by the way. I'm not calling him out. I'm just saying that 150 yards from Hurts was not the part I was expecting in that. So I do feel that really surprised me a bit that he only threw for that much, because that is an offense you can throw on with the right matchups, and they certainly had the right weapons to utilize. But they won the game, so you know, you can't be too critical, I suppose. And then I just really baffled that Alexander Mattison is not a good running back. Just not a good running back in general. And yet we've seen Ty Chandler be really productive. And yet we see Alexander Mattison out touching Ty Chandler, and I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get what they're doing in Minnesota to make that decision. Because they weren't all in on him anyway, because they bought in Cam Akers and they bought in Ty Chandler. So they weren't all in on him anyway. And then he's not fully fit, and yet they give him the ball more than Ty Chandler, who is fully fit. It was just baffling to me. So, I don't know.
It's not the first week that we've sat here and said how bad Alexander Mattison is and what is going on in Minnesota.
It's a strange one, right? I'm not saying he shouldn't get the ball. I'm just surprised that he's out snapping Ty Chandler and he's out touching Ty Chandler as much as he is. That's the part I don't understand. Like, that to me is just wild. Because I don't see it, and also the analytics don't see it. So if someone can explain it to me, then great. I'm here to listen. But I don't think anyone can do it ultimately. But I'd like to see someone have a go.
I would like to watch that. I would like to watch that. I don't have anything that surprised me, but I did. We both get an email from the NFL. This one's titled Seven from Sunday. Never actually looked in. Have you ever read this email we get from the NFL?
Yeah, I read it every week.
So there's some stuff in here that I found very interesting. The fact that, I guess you've read this, but do you know how many rookie quarterbacks have won games this season?
I can't remember it now. It's nine?
It's nine. Which is crazy. Like, nine rookie quarterbacks win a game in a season in itself. Yeah. It's crazy enough that it's the most since 1950. But then does say in brackets, excluding 1987. So...
Because that was the year of the walkout. Players went on strike.
Okay.
So players went on strikes. You had effectively like players coming in and filling in.
And then Tyreek Hill obviously has been on a historic mad one. At time of reading, has 1,222 receiving yards, becoming the first player in 62 years. And the fifth in NFL history with at least 1,200 receiving yards in his first 10 games, joining Raymond Berry, Don Hutson, Charlie Hennigan. These were all many, many years ago, obviously. And then Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch. I mean, if you've got a name like Crazy Legs, I want to know why Elroy Hirsch has a nickname of Crazy Legs.
I guess he's breaking ankles, right?
Maybe. Maybe.
I want to know who the, because there's been 10 rookie quarterbacks that have started a game this season. I'm trying to think of the one rookie quarterback who hasn't thrown a touchdown pass.
Who hasn't got a win?
Oh, sorry, it's a win. Tyson Bagent? No, he must have one.
Yeah, he won. He won. What about the Falcons fella who played one game and then isn't playing, and that's Tyler Heineke.
He's not a rookie, though.
No. Oh, this is a good question.
So who's the one rookie QB who hasn't landed a victory this year?
Has the Oakland Raiders fella won?
Aiden O'Connell won, yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of players who have started. Saints, have they had anybody?
Oh, Clayton Tune of the Cardinals.
But is he a rookie?
Yeah.
Oh.
So there you go.
Okay. All right. And then Brock Purdy recorded a passer rating of 148.9 in Week 10 and is the youngest player in NFL history with a passer rating of 145 or higher in consecutive starts.
Yeah, that's a solid reminder to how bad the Bucks were on Sunday.
You're welcome.
Do you know what's funny, right? Is I fully came into this season expecting to be bad. Didn't have a problem with it. I kind of thought that we'd be bad on offense. Baker's been okay. He's not been great. He's not even been good. He's been okay. He's been adequate is the term. But how bad? Like, just... Carlton Davis Jr. and Carlton Davis and Jamal Dean were just abysmal in this game. Absolutely abysmal. They were terrible. They were just have a lane, guys. Have fun. But they've been bad for weeks. It's not even like, I don't know. I think this is where the writing is getting on the wall for Todd Bowles, because we say it on this show and we've said it quite a few times. If your side of the ball is the side of the ball that's messing up, you as a head coach, you've got to own that, right? Oh, there's balloons on my screen. I put my hand up and then balloons came up on the screen.
So you didn't do that? Turn it off. Whatever you've got on,
it's some like hand gesture thing is coming up and it's doing it. I don't know. I just don't like that.
It's you. So you've got fireworks and balloons.
Yeah, I read about this. I read that if you do two thumbs up and
nothing happens.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, there we go. If you are lucky enough to be watching on the live stream right now, it's proper Thanksgiving. We've got balloons and fireworks going on.
I didn't know I could cause the balloons by doing that, because that's all I did with my hand was that. Maybe it's this. Maybe I thought it was waving. I don't know. But the Bucks have been bad on defense, really, the last couple of games. Really, really bad. So, need to sort that out. They were good against the Titans, but they've had a few games where they've not been good and they haven't shown up on defense. So they got a game against the Colts on Sunday. We'll see what happens. And then Kareem Jackson suspended again.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Is Sean Payton bringing the bounties out? Because that's the only way I can explain Kareem Jackson's behavior at the moment.
He looks like he wants to either paralyze someone or himself consistently game to game. And I don't really understand what's happening.
Yeah, I think you've got to ban him for longer than four games. Now, I will say this. His challenge on Sunday's bad. It's not even in the top five worst challenges he's made this season. So I think that ban's going to come down. The one he got the initial four-game ban for that got reduced to two was far worse than this. I mean, it's bad. And it's bad in... It's bad in isolation. It's worse than the fact that you know that he's already been banned and that he's already put three people in the concussion protocol this season. Mm. He did that in the first 3 weeks of the season, by the way. I think the league needs to crack down on this sort of behavior. I don't think that it's not a good look that you've got a guy, a multiple offender in a season. I mean, like, for me, you should be banned for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You've got to give him a stronger punishment.
Yeah, 100%. But the thing is, he'll come back and obviously won't have changed and then do it again. So, because we've been down this road.
But this is not something that Kareem Jackson's ever done in his career.
No.
So Kareem Jackson is not someone prior to this season that had this reputation. And you've got a coach in Sean Payton who has been proven, who had a year ban for bringing in bounties that got players injured. And the deliberate point of paying players bonuses for injuring players. Now, if the NFL isn't investigating this one, there's a few NFL investigations that need to happen this week. That's one. The other one is Joe Burrow's injury, because he was not listed on the injury report. He gets injured on Thursday Night Football. He's out for the season. He was seen on Wednesday wearing a cast or some sort of protective element over his wrist that then got injured, and that's what's caused the season-ending injury. There has to be an investigation into that, because if you're going to take money from gambling like the NFL do, and you're going to allow, not just allow people to bet on your sport, but you're going to actively encourage it and promote it, you've got to have a fair gaming responsibility, which is that the right information is going out to gamblers before the game. And if there was some form of injury on Joe Burrow, people had a right to know about that before the game.
Yeah. Especially when in today's world of everything photographed and everything is basically transparent through being seen, then it needs to be, even if it's investigated to prove that it's coincidental, that he was protecting it for some reason and he's got injured via another reason, rather than it looking like he was already injured. I'm not saying he wasn't already injured or it was a different part of the wrist or a finger or... Do you see what I'm saying? But, yeah, it needs to... Something needs to be done. I think the worst bit is you see all these things on social media for it and it makes it worse for the people on social media, not necessarily, obviously, the players involved and stuff. But I saw something about Hamlin getting... Comeback Player of the Year award or being nominated for it and most likely to win because of the what happened to him on the field and stuff. But then the comments just went off on him because he's been active for only two games this year. He's made one tackle in those two games and hasn't really played. So people were saying, well, he doesn't deserve to be this player. And fair enough, if the stats, you know, what happened to Hamlin was horrific and he thankfully recovered. But if the stats for somebody else are better for a comeback player of the year, he shouldn't automatically, you know, fare's fair in that situation. He should, the winner should be the player who's had the most impact on return, for me, anyway.
I'd agree. Or at least if he played every game. Even if he played every game, I think you could make the case. But if he's played two games, then 12.
Yeah, and made one tackle in those two games.
Yeah, it's quite hard to make that case that he's warranting of that award. So, I agree with you. I think you've got to have awards that are based on some form of merit. But listen, we live in a world where the MVP... This is what annoys me with the MVP discussion. Everyone's talking about the MVP discussion, the MVP this, MVP this. Is it going to be Mahomes? Is it going to be Hurts? Right. The MVP is the single easiest award to work out. I've talked about it on the show for years, right? If you are struggling to work out who the NFL MVP is going to be, wait till the end of the season. You take the two teams that have got the number one seed and then you look at the quarterbacks and you compare. It's a two-person award.
Has somebody won it from either of those the last loads of years?
Yeah. Every single quarterback, the last player that interrupted this streak was Adrian Peterson when he did something absolutely incredible, which was 2011, 2012, something like that. So the last 10 years, the winner of the MVP award has been the quarterback of a number one seeded team. So what's the point? If we all know that's the criteria of the MVP award, why is it the MVP award? Because it's not the most valuable player award. It's not. It's the quarterback of the number one seed award. That's what it is. Let's call it what it is. A defensive player. I can't. Like, it's basically saying it's a giant middle finger to the defense because I can't even remember the last time a defensive player won NFL MVP.
Yeah.
It's just a pointless award. It's so pointless. Like, it's glorified. It's minted. It's like, that's why I don't care how many MVPs Aaron Rodgers has won. It's irrelevant. The guy has won Super Bowl ring, which he doinked, nicked it. Like, he's been to one Super Bowl. He's got four, five MVPs. Oh, he's the greatest player of our time because he's got five MVPs. Eli Manning has more Super Bowl rings than Aaron Rodgers. I said this before. I'm not going to go down this road again. But ultimately, it's the number one seeded quarterback. So if it's going to be, it'll be between, at this point, it's between what, Hurts and Mahomes, I think, which is fine. I mean, listen, I don't have a problem with either of those guys winning the award if that's how it works out. I'm just checking that is.
So some long range.
So technically, at the moment, it'd be Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts. And it will go to Jalen Hurts if it's between those two.
Also, lump on Jalen Hurts.
I think he's the favourite now, but yeah.
The last defensive player was in 1986 and was New York Giants' Lawrence Taylor with 20 sacks and 105 total tackles.
Right.
So we're talking 37 years ago.
Yeah, I was one. So,
right. Depending on time of year, I was either here or not.
Yeah, so it's a pointless award to me. That's I don't care about MVP. Doesn't interest me in the slightest.
Yeah, it's Yeah, all right, fair enough. We've strayed from the path as per usual. Not entirely sure we're going to have time to go through every single one of these players, Murphys. The list is quite comprehensive, sir. But we will start with Zach Charbonnet for a statistical trend heading into week 12.
Yeah, listen, if you've been listening to me for, I don't know, 13 weeks, 14 weeks, 15 weeks, I've been saying all along that Zach Charbonnet was someone that had to be rostered. Zach Charbonnet was someone that had to be owned. We talked about it in the preseason that we felt he was going to be part of this offense. Yes, it's taken an injury to happen, but we've been talking about him on the show for the last few weeks. The usage has been trending upwards. He's been trending more into a 50-50 role with Kenneth Walker Jr. I said that I even said on the Strategy Points podcast, if I didn't say that, it was on the Patreon cast. I said it on one of them that I was worried about usage of players. There were some players I named, and Kenneth Walker was one of those. Zach Charbonnet now seems to have that backfield to himself for a little while. 85% of snaps, 71% routes run, 9 high-value touches. So I wrote a show doc that for me, his floor is like Rashaad White. So that kind of usage, he's basically going to be Rashaad White as a floor. His ceiling could be absolutely nuts. It could be anywhere. But you're looking at a low-end RB1 this week in Zach Charbonnet. With usage, lack of competition, he's looking good as well. So I'm excited to see Zach Charbonnet come to the fold this week in particular. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of his. I like him. And, don't wish injury on anyone, but been saying for weeks he was a player that had to be stashed, and now's the time. Tank Dell, and he's a stud. I have him as a wide receiver 11 rest of the season.
Cool, blimey. I think the statement scares me more than the fact.
Yeah, he's just incredible. He's just in that offense, absolutely incredible. So I'm right there on Tank Dell. Justin Fields, this was interesting. 14 designed runs, which was the most in a game for his career. So maybe we're starting to see that. Well, it shows, one, he's healthy. And two, maybe that's how they plan to use him more going forward. So this could be good for the fantasy playoffs. He's on a bye after this week. So I've kind of hedged on him this week. But after the bye, that'll be interesting to see if that trend continues. Isaiah Likely. I think he's going to be on the outskirts of a tight end one conversation for the rest of the season. I think you're going to see a significant role. My worry is I'm not sure if it's consistent. I don't trust the Ravens to plug him into the Mark Andrews role fully. I think you might get games where that happens, but I don't think it's going to be consistent through the season. Keaton Mitchell, everyone was victory lapping on Keaton Mitchell, saying that this is the guy who's going to take over the backfield. And I was like,
No,
but I was like, hold the phone. I'm not seeing the usage. I was in a chat with some of our book buyers. People bought books in the past. And they were saying, yeah, I'm going to start. This is last week or the week before. And they said, I'm going to start Keaton Mitchell. And I was like, start him at your peril. I can't start a guy. I can't start a guy that got 4 touches last week. I don't care that he went for 80 yards, not 4 touches. Well, he's not going to doink that every week. It's just not going to happen. So,
yeah.
He is getting work at Justice Hill's expense, but we've seen it. The Gus Bus is going nowhere. The Gus Bus is the goal line back. The Gus Bus is going to run 2 touchdowns every single game until the end of time. He's going to be 85 and he's still going to be running in touchdowns. That's what it feels like at the moment. I just like death taxes and Gus Bus touchdown games. Like, that just seems to be the thing now. So, Keaton Mitchell is not a thing. Well, I would say he's not a thing. I put in the notes, he's closer to Jaleel McLaughlin than he is to Devon Achan.
It's fair.
For context.
It's fair. That is a superb t-shirt, that Death Taxes and the Gus Bus.
We've come up with a few this season. Someone's going to have to go back and make some of these. We got the Skittles one.
Oh, there was one just after the Skittles as well, wasn't there?
Yeah. I have to go back and coin some. I think there we go. We should put this on Lee or you or someone. Should go back and clip like the best moments of the season and do an episode, like an outtakes episode.
Yeah, that would be good. That sounds time consuming, but it would be good.
Yeah. Topical here on this next player. I talked about Jaden Reed. I've talked about Jaden Reed a lot this season, to the point where people have been messaging me on most platforms about how, like, what's Jaden Reed doing? Like, you were in so early on him. And I was like, yeah, I think he's great. Back up to 75% of routes last week. Got three end of rounds. He broke one of them for a TD, which was amazing. And he scored again today. So,
he's had two carries today as well.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's why I put the end of round in. So he's had two carries for 16 yards. All right, 4 for 34 for 1 isn't great, but he's had 8 targets in this game. He's leading the wide receivers in targets in this game. So, you know, you're looking at this. He's got 50 all-purpose yards, a touchdown, 4 receptions, 6.5 minutes to go. Oh, it does look like the Lions might score. They're on the... No, they've just turned it over on downs. looks like the Lions look like they're going to score. No. Not at all. Okay. But yeah, Jaden Reed is a really big thing. I hope you picked him up. One player I haven't talked about too much this week, especially on the waiver wire, that I saw people perhaps a little bit shocked by was Justin Watson. You know, he had 11 targets, 142 air yards, 67% of routes run. And people were looking at him like, oh, well, he was going to be the next thing in this Kansas City offense. You know, two things I'll say about this. One, Kansas City offense is just not something we're going to predict much anymore. Like, it is what it is. If I had, I've said this for several weeks, if I have to pick a player in that core that I'm going to play every week, it's Rashee Rice. I'm not really fussed about MVS. I'm not fussed about Sky Moore. I'm not fussed about Justin Watson. Justin Watson had significant drops in this game. That's going to hinder him from getting the ball a lot more going forward. So people... This is the problem with box score scouting, is people will look at the stat line of Justin Watson's game against the Eagles and go, we did against the Eagles, so he's going to be this big thing going forward. I'm just not in agreement with that. In a deep league, I'm absolutely adding him. In leagues with ridiculous benches or 16-team and above leagues, I'm absolutely adding Justin Watson because I doubt there's much better out there. In a 12-team or less with 6 bench spots or less, I'm absolutely not touching him. He's just a waste of a roster spot for me. I don't think you're going to see. I think that's the ceiling is what you've seen, and it wasn't that great. So I'm not saying I'm not knocking him. I'm he's next Buccaneer player. I've got nothing against Justin Watson. Just more that offense and the way it's utilized and used. I'm not in on it ultimately.
The Kansas City offense hasn't scored in the second half of a game in the last 3 weeks. Last 3 games they played, they haven't scored a point in the second half.
Yeah, it's one of those stats that sounds a lot worse than it is. As with everything, there's context. Yep, look, against the Eagles, that's bad, but the Eagles are a good defense. So, you know, there's a bit of context that has to be had there on that one.
They also played the Dolphins and the Broncos in those other 2 games, who
and there's a bye sandwiched in there as well. So
I was more leaning on the point where we don't know what this Kansas City offense is at the moment, so playing players from it is hard. So
yeah, a little bit. Look, I mean, here's my view on it, right? The Broncos game was just weird. It was a weird game. I don't know what to make of it other than it was a very uncharacteristic game.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I don't really have anything to say on that one. Just they were bad, but the weather was affecting. The conditions weren't great. That played a part in how they set up. But I throw that game out with the bathwater. It was just one of those days. The Dolphins game, they were 21-0 up. And they're jet lagged. They're in Germany. I'm not making excuses here. I'm just trying to add context that heavy legs in the second half. We see this with many international teams. They thought they'd done enough at 21-0 up. They won the game 21-14. I'm really only critical of my point is it's only the Eagles game. I have some criticism on the way that they were. But it's one of those trends that sounds a lot worse than it is, but I would fully expect that to change.
There's also the thing where they were only three catches away from being 10-0.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the NFL, right? It's just any given Sunday.
Exactly.
These things happen, but they got the Raiders this week, and I fully expect them to trounce them. They're 8.5-point favorites. And I fully expect them to finish that streak and put it to bed. So but to your point about the offense, this offense is not amazing. If you take Patrick Mahomes out of this offense, this team ain't a playoff team.
No.
I'm going to say it. I don't think this team's a playoff team if they have Baker Mayfield at quarterback. I don't think their wide receivers are great. I don't think they're bad. But there's not a truly elite wide receiver on this team.
No.
And when you're good, and you're good for a number of years, you don't get good players in the draft. So you can only sign them in free agency, but they've got this money tied to Mahomes and to Kelsey and to players on the offensive line, which was a massive problem for them, and players on the defense, which was a massive problem for them. You can't pay everyone. So the wide receivers are just, they are a little bit of a much of a matchup, but Patrick Mahomes elevates their play, makes them relevant. But it does mean they have to share the workload around. You don't have an A.J. Brown. You don't have a Mike Evans. You don't have a Justin Jefferson on this team. There isn't a huge target hog. That's the point. Stop trying to work out who... It's like when Aaron Rodgers had his mere receivers for about 6 years. Everyone was like, getting the wide receiver from Aaron Rodgers is the one. And for 5 years, it just never really produced a fantasy an overly fantasy relevant player. It's the same thing now. We're seeing exactly the same thing. Just, it's fine for flex plays. Every receiver, with the exception of Kelsey on that offense, is a potential flex play. But really, the only one I think you can bank on week to week putting up respectable numbers to be a flex play every week is Rashee Rice. Everyone else, I'm not in on Moore. I'm not in on anyone else in that offense from a long-term perspective. Rashee Rice, for me, is the one that stood out most of the season. He's been the most consistent in his utilization and usage.
Yeah. Moving on, Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
119 air yards. They're starting to air the ball out to him, but Geno is injured, a little bit banged up this week. We're starting to see this changing in the guard a little bit, but Lockett is still being productive. It's kind of what I thought we'd see from JSN. Not a great rookie season, but we'd see flashes. And we start towards the end of the season, see a bit more usage from him. And that's kind of what we're seeing. So, it's trending that way, that he's going to be somewhat effective. Kyren Williams is all go. All systems go. Darrell Henderson is gone from the building. He is no longer a Ram for the second time. He's been ruthlessly cut.
Isn't it? The NFL is brutal when it comes to that sort of thing.
There is some murmurings, and I'm not going to say there are anything more than murmurings, that apparently there were some things with the front office and coaching staff that with his attitude. I don't know if that's true, but there are some murmurings that this wasn't just a vanity. Well, Kyren Williams is back. Off you go. There was an undercurrent that they put up with while he was the starter that they're not going to put up with anymore.
Fair.
We keep talking about Brian Robinson, man. You know what? We were so right on him, and I'm so, so glad. I love Brian Robinson. You know, any guy that gets shot and then comes back 4 weeks later is just a hero in my book. 78% snaps, 67% routes. Antonio Gibson left this game, so that's why there was a slight increase. And I think now that it's official that Antonio Gibson is back today, these numbers will drop slightly, but...
Rough matchup this week.
Yeah, look, it's a tough matchup this week. But, like, from where you got Brian Robinson in draft, 7th, 8th round, he's proved amazing value for you. So, you know, it's good to see. Another player producing amazing value is DeAndre Swift, 6.3 yards per carry, 10.3 yards per reception. He wasn't the most efficient back going into the bye, but first game since, that rest has clearly done the world of good. He looked amazing in this game on Monday Night Football. So, yeah, good to see DeAndre Swift back to his best. I've never been his biggest fan, but I guess in Detroit, he was struggling with utilization and fitness. But you can see this was the player that the Lions drafted that we've been waiting to see for 3 years. So really good to see. Rashad White is getting 6.25 high-value touches per game over his last four games. He's averaging out 5.4 for the season. Now, why this is important more for sort of PPR leagues is that he's always going to be a solid play because he's not an efficient running back, right? He's actually not been a great running back. He's been as bad as Alexander Mattison at the times running the football. But the Bucs can't run the football. Haven't run the football very well for 3 or 4 years. But the difference between Alexander Mattison and Rashad White is that Rashad White is very good with the ball in his hands. He's caught all but two passes this year thrown at him, and he's been highly productive with the ball in his hands. So if you can give him sort of a bit of an opening, he's been very, very good at exploiting that. So he's a very, very good play in PPR leagues. In a standard league, not so much, but in a PPR league, he is a very, very solid high RB2, low RB1 as a result, even though he's been... And you know what? If you get a day where he's efficient, to the moon, he's going to win you a week.
Nice.
Javonte Williams, 11% of routes run last week, which was a season low and only two receptions. The running backs in this game got 14 receptions, and he got two. Wow. You know, again, people going wild. Javonte Williams, everyone was like, Javonte Williams to the moon. I was like, I didn't feel it. I just didn't feel it. I don't trust him enough. He's never done it. And this is, it's just... I just don't see the upside. I've never seen the upside with Javonte Williams. He's a very talented player. He's kind of in that... He's where DeAndre Swift was a year ago for me. He's yet to prove that he is as explosive a player as it looks, and he's as valuable as a player as it looks. And maybe he needs to move like DeAndre Swift moved to prove that. I don't know. But listen, you're a Bronco. I don't see it. I don't see Javonte Williams RB1 in fantasy football anytime soon.
Certainly not in orange and blue.
No.
Yeah, it's confusing. I think for me, it's not the system for him to do it. And I think you're right. We need to see a Devonta Swift kind of thing where, sadly, obviously for me, it would be someone of his someone of his skill set and potential to move on would be sad. But yeah, we're not going to see it in orange and blue.
No, I don't see it anymore. The longer he's there, I don't see it ultimately. Yeah. So I'm just curbing the upside there and I'm pouring a bit of cold water there because not a lot of people are going to because they believe, and that's fine. But that belief is what's going to kill you in a fantasy championship.
Belief sinks ships, man. We sound like pirates now.
We do a bit. Yeah, I just a little careful there. What else? So much to go. Right. Tony Pollard, I just put looks great, which is awesome. He's looking more explosive. He's looking a lot stronger, which is great. You know, it's what we want. He's definitely looking a lot better as a player. This is a surprising one. I nearly put this in my surprise line that Dearnish Johnson is now above Tank Bigsby. When did Dearnish Johnson become a thing? Like, I don't get it. Like, Doug Pedersen annoys me at times with running backs. Like, he absolutely baffles me. Tank Bigsby has been fine in the role that he's been. I don't get how Dearnish Johnson's now all of a sudden come along and become a thing. Like, why? Why have we confused this more when it didn't need to be? It's not affected ETN. It's just kill Tank Bigsby. If you were stashing Tank Bigsby, as I was advising people to do, I'm now with the thinking of maybe you ditch him. Maybe hold a week and see what happens. If Dearnish Johnson is getting RB2 snaps here, I'm out. Because that's never a good sign. And I don't dislike Dearnish Johnson, but Tank Bigsby was supposed to be a bit more of a thing than he is. And this does correlate with Travis Etienne, his two lowest snap shares in the past 2 weeks. And I did point to this, that there were five or six players on for elite touches. When I say elite touches, like record-breaking levels of touches. And Travis Etienne was one of those players. So I'm not shocked that his utilization is going down. It doesn't mean you sit him. Like, his volume is fine. It's just that elite volume that we were getting is going down. But now Dearnish Johnson is kind of like taking some snaps. I'm a bit like, right, okay. It's a bit frustrating, but it is what it is. Damien Pierce, he can go off your roster now. Devin Singletree is taken over. He's looked great. He's looked explosive. He's looked really, really good. In an offense that I wasn't convinced could run the ball very well, like, Damien Pierce is done. I think he's done. I think he can go off rosters now. I think Singletree's pretty much made him irrelevant. A couple of 50-50 or closer to 50-50 backfields. Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt. I can't tell if this was just because DTR was throwing the ball 3 inches in front of him. And like that, this is why I don't know. If you ever want to watch a game that makes you fall out of love with the NFL, watch the Browns Steelers game from last Sunday. My word. Defensively brilliant. Offensively, arguably the worst game I've ever seen. I mean, I'm not surprised Matt Canada got fired after that. I mean, like, the guy has literally been bulletproof for 3 years, being producing no offense. And yet, they lose in that style, in that game. Yeah, you deserve to get fired for that. Because it was atrocious on both teams' offenses. I mean, it was bad. Like, DTR was basically just going like that. Like, he's basically... I'm gonna get to some air dot stats in a minute that it just will prove this point. It was shocking. So, like, I'm hoping that DTR will throw the ball a little bit more further field. Like, maybe he might get it like 6 inches. No, he'll get a bit more and we'll see what happens. But yeah,
imagine if you're a new
that Kareem Hunt's up to 45% in that offense. I need that to go down a bit.
Yeah. Are you still there, Murph?
Sorry, my thing's gone a bit weird. There we go. Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry, it just went a bit weird on my screen there for a second. Where is it up to? Yeah, another 50-50 backfield. Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders. Chuba Hubbard hasn't been that amazing. Miles Sanders starting to come into it a bit more. I basically would fade both these two as a starter. Going forward, I think you can just sort of hedge them. One player that has emerged in one of the worst offensive games I've ever seen is Jaylen Warren. He looked amazing, 129-yard rushing day, just 9 carries. He was probably the only player on offense in this game that was particularly brilliant. It's still a 50-50. People are saying, oh, well, Warren has got this job now. I'm not sure, but I think they're a 50-50. They're a 1A and 1A. or 1A, 1B, whatever you want to call them. But anyway, yeah, Jalen Warren looked great. But, you know, I'm always slightly nervy of these 129-yard. Yeah, he did it on 9 carries, which is great because it shows he's explosive. On the flip side, even when he was great and scored 129 yards on 9 carries, he only got 9 carries. So there's two schools of thought here. One is, wow, the guy was really explosive. The second thing, and this is the one that's more pertinent to me, is, well, if he was that booming good, why did he not get 18 touches or 20 touches? Because if that's the best you're going to be, why would you stop?
Yeah.
Like, if that's how you're hurting the other team, why are you... And then maybe this is why Matt Cannon got fired, because everyone can see he's so much better than he is. I don't know. Yeah. That's my worry, is that he only got 9 carries. Because that doesn't... Like, when I see things like that, that doesn't correlate very well for me. Like, there's a reason he's only got 9 carries. And it's either design, or there's something that we're not seeing. And it's typically on the practice field, or they have a belief in Harris. I don't know. Jahmyr Gibbs, 9 high value touches, which is great. Listen, him and Montgomery are both going to be strong plays going forward. I think now, I was really out on Gibbs. I don't really have a lot of Gibbs because I always took the cheaper back. I took Montgomery. In this late, well, I don't regret that decision because Montgomery is still great in his own right. He scored a touchdown again this evening, by the way. It's just, I can see now the utilization and usage is now justifying Gibbs' ADP as it is now, but it's taken a long time to get there. This is maybe the role that people kind of thought it was going to be, but it has taken a long time to get there. And I think this is a good lesson. This is a good case study for rookie RBs with a strong running back alongside maybe aren't worth that high in ADP. Might come good in the end, but it's going to take you a while to get there.
Yeah, the Lions just scored and converted a 2-point conversion. So it's a 7-point game with 40 seconds left. Onside kick coming.
Oh, who scored?
Josh Reynolds.
Ah, oh, I took him out of the lineup today as well.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, Laporta got the 2-point attempt, though. So, you know, there is that. So, yeah, if they... And they've still got some timeouts. So, yeah, they will need a first down.
They need the onside kick.
I mean, even if they don't recover, Green Bay will need a first down. They won't, because they've got enough downs. Yeah, no, they'll be fine. So, yeah, if it's... It will go to victory formation if they don't recover the onside kick. Quentin Johnston, I keep saying this most week, another really underwhelming performance. This is really bad, though, because this was the one week where everyone was out. Like, Keenan Allen was banged up. And every other wide receiver on this roster was pretty much out of this game. And he still wasn't good. I mean, Stone Storet, or whatever his name is, got the third tight end on the roster, scored and looked explosive. And Johnston didn't. I'm almost at a point now where Johnston is a drop. Because if he can't produce in this spot, in that matchup, he ain't ever doing it in this season. Next season, very, very different.
Yeah.
Green Bay got the ball.
Boo.
So that should be the end of the game. Michael Mayer trending upwards, 70% of routes, 3 of the last 4 games. And Austin Hooper is pretty much down and out, which is cool. Keep an eye on Joe Mixon. I think now with Burrow out for the season, he's going to be a really high-value play. He could be a fantasy... I'm going to go as far as say he's a league winner in coming weeks, but he's going to have a really high utilization. Because they've been so heavy on the pass that Joe Mixon hasn't been as involved as much as he should have been. But now I think that's going to go the other way. I think they're going to rely on Joe Mixon a lot more. So I think you're going to see Joe Mixon for me is an RB1 for the rest of the season. Jameson Williams was trending upwards, 66% of routes. 2 catches for 51 today, but only 3 targets. He's not in a role that is touching something for me that's worth starting. Khalil Herbert was obviously healthy enough. He handled 18 touches. That's good. Saquon Barkley, I put 58 yards. He had a ton of catches, was really receiving efficiency. But they're starting to get him involved. They realize that he's the playmaker on this offense. And you know, it was a big reason why they won this game.
Starting to see that he's the playmaker on this offense. It's only taken how long?
Yeah, it's only taken 11 weeks to realize that he's by far. I mean, listen, he's got Danny DeVito's cousin throwing him the football. He's got like the supporting cast of the Goonies as his wide receiver core. Like,
there's another t-shirt there, Danny DeVito and the Goonies in New York Giant kit.
I don't know what to say, man. Like, it's the New York Giants. It's great. It's a great watch. It's not a great watch, but it's interesting.
We're just slogans all over the place right now. We're off a whole brand. We're going to have an entire wardrobe of t-shirts come the end of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Danny DeVito and the Goonies. All we need is Dave Gettleman to come back in like the shadows.
Have you seen Big Mouth?
No.
Okay, so there's a grim sort of the ghost of despair in there is a sort of grim reapery guy who comes out the shadows and tells you all your fears and stuff because it's about teenagers growing up. And Dave Gettleman could easily be the guy from Big Mouth in that Goonies t-shirt. But you need to have seen Big Mouth for that reference to...
No. Yeah, I've not seen it. I made a great point here about Dontavian Wicks being really productive in the limited role. Yeah, no targets today, so it's been that. And the Cardinals they're getting the ball to their playmakers in very concentrated, it's very narrow trees. But Rondell Moore is becoming more of a thing. Michael Wilson be more of a thing when he's healthy. But yeah, it's just a very, and you know, the ball's just going to go to Trey McBride and Marquise Brown, but mostly Trey McBride. Basically, Trey McBride is going to get about, I don't know, it seems like he's going to get like 60% of the targets at the moment. It's ridiculous. Whoa. So if I look at Sunday's game, where is it? I mean, they almost beat the Texans, which fair shout to them. So if I look at this, Kyler Murray threw the ball 30 times. There were 29 recognized targets. Trey McBride had 7 of them. I actually thought he had more. It felt like he had more. Greg Dortch had 8. I don't know. Don't pick up Greg Dortch. He was stepping in because Michael Wilson wasn't. And also, Greg Dortch kind of earned it because he had a great play on special teams. And if you do well on special teams, you get rewarded, and I like that. But yeah, it just means, I mean, it's not the overly most exciting offense we've ever seen, but it's pretty concentrated, and it's pretty predictable, which is in fantasy football. You can kind of dig that.
Yeah, because something sinks ships. I can't even remember what it was now. But what did we say?
Belief.
What did we say? Belief sink ships. There you go.
Belief sink ships. We made ships, it more. Man.
Belief sink ships.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got an idea for that as well. Oh, I don't want to make
Ted,
another.
It's going to be Ted Lasso, isn't it? It's going to be Ted Lasso's Belief sign. And he's just going to have the Titanic in the background.
Well, that's not a terrible one. Well, maybe the Titanic's a little uncouth. We should go for something nondescript where people didn't actually perish.
Yeah, like someone's like crashed in the harbour or something like that.
Yeah.
Crashed entering the harbour. That would be even better.
Yeah, I've got an idea. Right, Rush Nation, that is going to do it for Thanksgiving. Murph, enjoy the rest of your evening. Hope you manage to catch some ball before you go to bed. Looks like we missed a fairly interesting end to the Packers-Lions games, but there's two more to go. Rush Nation, don't forget to head over to Twitter, or X as it is now, and do subscribe to the four-game elimination. Let's get the dad home. And then, yeah, follow Murph on X at Murph_NFL. But until next week, Rush Nation, enjoy your football. Week 11, 12 is... What, is it week 12?
Week 12 is underway, baby.
4 weeks left. We are so close to that half of being full.
It's a 17-week season.
Yeah, forgotten that. 5 weeks. Well, it's 4 weeks, really. And then for those couple of lucky souls playing in the final, there'll be more ships coming to fill those docks. It's that time of year again, Murph, where we start to grind hard for that final push. But Rush Nation, until next week, as always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.